Say nothing more to yourself than what the first appearances report. Suppose that it has been reported to you that a certain person speaks ill of you. This has been reported, but that you have been injured, that has not been reported. I see that my child is sick. I do see, but that he is in danger of his life, I do not see. Thus then always abide by the first appearances, and add nothing yourself from within, and thus no harm befalls you. Or rather add something in the fashion of a man who understands the true nature of the world. A cucumber is bitter. Throw it away. There are briars in the road. Turn aside from them. This is enough. Do not add, and why were such things made in the world? For you will be ridiculed by a man who is acquainted with nature, as you would be ridiculed by a carpenter and shoemaker, if you find fault because you see in their workshop shavings and cuttings from the things which they make. Now, they have places into which they can throw these shavings and cuttings, but the universal nature has no external space. But the wondrous part of her art is that though she has circumscribed herself, everything within her which appears to decay and to grow old and to be useless, she changes into herself, and again makes other new things from these very same, so that she requires neither substance from without, nor wants a place into which she may cast that which decays. She is content, then, with her own space, and her own matter, and her own art. Neither in your actions be sluggish, nor in your conversation without method, nor wandering in your thoughts, nor let there be in your soul inward contention, nor external effusion, nor in life be so busy as to have no leisure. Suppose that men kill you, cut you in pieces, curse you. What then can these things do to prevent your mind from remaining pure, wise, sober, just? For instance, if a man should stand by a limpid, pure spring and curse it, the spring never ceases sending up potable water. And if he should cast clay into it or filth, it will speedily disperse them and wash them out, and will not be at all polluted. How then shall you possess a perpetual fountain and not a mere well? By forming yourself hourly to freedom conjoined with contentment, simplicity, and modesty. He who does not know what the world is does not know where he is, and he who does not know for what purpose the world exists does not know who he is, nor what the world is. But he who has failed in any one of these things could not even say for what purpose he exists himself. What then do you think of him who seeks the praise of those who applaud, or the censure of those who criticize, if these men know not either where they are or who they are? Do you wish to be praised by a man who curses himself thrice every hour? Would you wish to please a man who does not please himself? Does a man please himself who repents of nearly everything that he does? No longer let your breathing only act in concert with the air which surrounds you, but let your intelligence also now be in harmony with the intelligence which embraces all things. For the intelligent power is no less diffused in all parts and pervades all things for him who is willing to draw it to him than the aerial power for him who is able to respire it. Generally, wickedness does no harm at all to the universe, and particularly the wickedness of one man does no harm to another. It is only harmful to him who has it in his power to be released from it, and this he may have as soon as he shall choose. To my own free will, the free will of my neighbour is just as indifferent as his poor breath and flesh. For though we are made especially for the sake of one another, still the ruling power of each of us has its own office. For otherwise my neighbour's wickedness would be my harm, which God has not willed, in order that my unhappiness may not depend on another. The sun appears to be poured down, and in all directions indeed it is diffused. yet it is not emptied or poured away. For this diffusion is extension. One may judge what kind of a thing a ray is, if you look at the sun's light passing through a narrow opening into a darkened room, for it is extended in a straight line, and as it were is stopped when it meets with any solid body which stands in the way and intercepts the air beyond. But there the light remains fixed and does not glide or fall off. Such then ought to be the outpouring and diffusion of the understanding. And it should in no way be an emptying, but an extension, and it should make no violent or impetuous collision with the obstacles which are in its way, nor yet fall down, but be fixed and enlighten that which receives it. For a body will deprive itself of the illumination if it does not admit it. He who fears death either fears the loss of sensation or a different kind of sensation. But if you have no sensation, neither will you feel any harm. And if you acquire another kind of sensation, you will be a different kind of living being, and you will not cease to live. Men exist for the sake of one another. Teach them, then, or bear with them. In one way an arrow moves, in another way the mind. But the mind indeed, either when it exercises caution and is circumspect, or when it approaches a problem from many directions, in the end moves straight towards its object. Enter into every man's ruling faculty, their understanding, their reason, and also let every other man enter into yours.